Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Ranch. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
Here I am once again. I pour out my heart, for I know that you hear every cry. You are listening. When I humble myself and submit to your word, you are faithful to answer with words that
praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Dear Lord, we come before you again, asking that you open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to give us the words that we need so that we can do your work, so that we can walk while we are on this earth and be with you and to be your friend. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. I will celebrate, sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. With my heart rejoicing within, with my mind focused on Him, with my hand the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. With my heart rejoicing within, with my mind focused on Him, with my hands raised to the heavens, all I am, worshiping Him. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song.
Good morning, everyone. You know, I wanted to correct myself. I was corrected last week, and I said, welcome from Vermont or something like that. I guess I didn't realize it was in Texas. I wanted to bring something out that was mentioned to me last week after I spoke, and it was one of these things that, you know, I was talking about a light bulb and bitterness and all this sort of thing, and one thing that Brother Davey brought up to me afterwards says, you know, this light bulb is really, it's connected to a battery. And that battery powers that light bulb. And that battery is powered by prayer and reading of His Word. And I know that for myself, you know, as I allowed bitterness and darkness to settle in, that faltered on me. But it was by God's grace that that battery had enough juice to get to that, keep that light going, and to the point that that bitterness started to crack and fall off. So I mentioned that if you get in that position, realize that prayer and reading of His Word will keep that light bulb lit, empowered, until you're able to have that darkness break off. So anyway, I've been thinking about something here, or something that's going through my mind. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read these in order, and hopefully they'll all come together in some sort of logical fashion, I guess. I'd like to start at John 13. I'm going to read 34 and 35. Now, those who know me, this seems to be kind of a very prominent verse that I go back to. So John 13, 34, 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And I've got four places I'm going to jump to. I'm just going to read them in order, instead of trying to hop back and forth. Next one's going to be Galatians 5, 13 through 26. That's Galatians 5, 13 through 26. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not the liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right, let's go over to Hebrews now. 6, 1 through 6. Leaving, therefore, the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, on the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And I'm going to go to one more place. We're going to go to 2 John, chapter 1, 3 through 6. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, that if ye have heard from the beginning, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Now, one of the things that I know the Lord has been working on me for years is, what is love? I know that when I look at myself and I look at my life, you know, I didn't know what love was. Okay, I knew in my... Let me step back here for a second. Before I knew Jesus Christ, I didn't know what agape love was. I had no concept of what agape love was because I had never had received or understood what agape love was. Because that agape love came from the Father at the point that I received him. I received that, and it came into me, and I gained the ability to agape love. Now, that's not to say that I didn't have agape love from other people who were Christians who were extended to that to me, but I didn't have an understanding of what that agape love was. And when I look at my family, and I look at all those, my natural family, I look at all those around me, there are no Christians that I know of in my family. My father received the Lord, and my hope is the Lord carried him over to the finish line, and he's passed away. So other than myself, within my family, I don't know of any other Christians. And I know that the Lord has shown me that I cannot, the only type of love that I can receive from those who don't know Christ is really a form of philios love in many ways that mimic or in some ways tries to mimic what that agape love is that the Lord gives. So here I am, and I receive the Lord, and that agape love comes into me. Now, at the point that agape love comes into me, I now have the ability to love as Christ has. But the question really becomes, what do I do with that? You know, do I sit there and do I exercise that love that God has given me? Or that love that God has given me the ability to love with? You know, it reminds me of that sermon that Melanie preached at the ministers' conference, where she really took the agape love and she took the philios love and she kind of interchanged it between the two. Because our natural tendency is to philios love. And it's our natural tendency is the philios love because, frankly, until I knew Jesus Christ, that's the only type of love I knew of and the only type of love I could give. So we have a tendency to go back to this philios love in ourselves that we have, and we often lose sight of what it means to agape love. Now, the thing that really struck me, you know, we talk about, you know, talks about the body fitly joined together and in place and one thing. And one thing that the Lord has called us to be is to be that body of Christ. And that body of Christ is interesting because how is that body joined together? What joins that body together? The glue that binds the body together is love, is agape love. And if you lose or you don't exercise that agape love, you lose that stickiness that binds you to that body. And the thing about agape love is it's something that you have to give over and over and over again. You know, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it goes on and lists a few things. See, that love that we have to continually purge. You know, the Lord talks about purging the fruit so it can bring forth new fruit. And I know as the body is pulled together that one of the things that we have to do is we have to go forth and demonstrate that love to those on the outside. Because they'll know your disciples by your love one for another. But the key there is they'll know you're my disciples by your love one for another. Unless we get that love perfected within here within the body, how are those outside the body going to know that what we preach is the truth? Now, I look at myself, and of course, I'm a bright and shining light, not of what it means to love. You know, I look at the things that I see to love, and, you know, frankly, I hold things against people when people offend me. And really, that holding back of that offense goes back to what I read in Hebrews. My hope is to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but another hope is to stay in that kingdom of heaven. And I know that when I read Hebrews, I see that. You know, I go to heaven, I'm going, oh, praise God, hallelujah. Oh, there's that SOB that pissed me off. You know, I've sinned. I have no sacrifice for sin. I have to get to that point on this earth where I freely give agape love. And part of that giving of that freely of agape love is to extend grace and mercy and kindness that the Lord does to me. You know, if to think that I'm going to walk and I'm going to enter into the kingdom of heaven holding a grudge is really a lie. I'm not going to be able to hold a grudge and enter into or stand in the kingdom of heaven because I have to get rid of it now. Now, I look at this in my life, you know, and I know that there was a period where, and I'm going to use Karen and I, you know, Karen and I, the Lord brought us together, and I think anybody who knows our testimony knows that the Lord brought us together. But see, we came to a point in our marriage, I hope I'm not spilling anything, okay? We came to a point in our marriage where there was an issue, okay? She was in judgment of me, and I was in judgment and bitterness against her, and about destroyed what we had. It about destroyed what we had because we couldn't let go of those things that held us apart. And I know that, you know, part of this was broken this last year when she was gone. And I know that it was necessary for us to go through this. Because the point that the Lord brings us is he brings us to, you know, it says that in the two, you know, when we get married, the two shall become one. And it also talks about husbands, don't be bitter against your wives and all that sort of stuff. I held an angerness and a bitterness against Karen. She had the same against me. And it took a while for us to get over this feeling and this issue that went on between us. And it took a year of separation. And, you know, for those of you who remember that, when they visited me somewhere around Christmas of last year, it was not a very pretty sight. Okay. I was probably the ugliest I can ever think I've been in a very, very long time. But see, I had to get past that point of relying on Philios love. I had to get past that point and realize it was only that agape love that really I seek and I want, because that is the love that comes from Christ. And if I can't give that love from Christ that he freely gives me, not only, first of all, to my wife, who the two or, you know, the twain are supposed to be one, that's like not loving myself or accepting that agape love. I can't give it to others. And if I can't give it to my wife, how am I going to give it to the others in the body? And if I can't give it to others in the body, how are those on the outside going to see us any different than the rest of the churches? You know, I know Scott and Gail had a testimony when they first came to the Lord, and they would come up for, you know, the Liberty News and the Eagle Radio, and Scott did a show. You know, he was blinded to their stripes at the time, but he only saw was that love that there was within the body there. You know, that love is what's going to separate us. That love is what's going to set out and bring others to the body. We have to get to that point where the only thing we walk in is that agape love. And it's tough. You know, my natural tendency is you offend me, I get PO'd and I hold it against you, and I don't want to be around you. You know, and those who know me, I'm pretty abrasive. I think. But even if I'm abrasive, or if even if someone's abrasive to me, or if even if my brother or my sister offends me, my response needs to be agape love. My response needs to be what Jesus did when he was on that cross. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. My response needs to be able to go forth and say, I understand where it's from, praise God, and you don't hold it against them. I know if the Lord held things against me, it wouldn't be a very pretty sight. And we're to be Christ-like. Jesus forgave us. Jesus did not hold that which we do against us. We have to do the same. Because unless we're willing to do the same, where's the love of Christ in us? I see a lot of people running around saying, oh, I'm a Christian, yet you see their actions and their love. They don't demonstrate that love. They don't demonstrate the forgiveness that Christ gave them to others. I know that when Karen and I were going through some of these struggles, I mean, you know, it was rough. It hurt. It was painful. I love my wife. I love her very dearly. I have to be willing, as her head, to forgive her, because only by that forgiveness is she be able to be free and to be set free from that which was holding her back. As her head, I have to take the lead in this issue, because it's that which set her free. And if I love her, I have to be willing to do that. If we are to walk as the body of Christ, if we are to walk and to demonstrate the love of Christ to those on the outside, we have to first be willing and able to give that love not only to our families, but also to one another. And I know it's hard. There are many people I don't like. I may not enjoy being around them, but I have to love them. Okay, that goes beyond my ability. But that ability I know can come from Jesus Christ, because he did that for me. Therefore, I have to be able to do that to others. If we're to expect to stay in that body, we have to use the glue that glues us to that body. If we're not willing to use agape love, that love or that stickiness which binds us to the body will dry up, and it will harden, and it will cause us to fall away. Let us use that agape love that God has given us, and let us use it and renew it, and let it become sticky to bind us to that body. And let us not let it harden and dry up and cause us to fall away.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord.
Humble yourselves.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Praise you, Lord.
Actually, Charlie, in a sense, zeroed in on pretty much the direction I was going to go today. But I have a couple of different scriptures for you. Let's turn over to Matthew 22, starting at verse 36. This is the disciples to Jesus. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love thy God. Who's your God? What is your God? If you put anything in your life before Jesus Christ, that is your God. It can be money. It can be a husband. It can be a wife. It can be a child. It can be anything that is put before Jesus Christ is your God. And it will create fear in you. The fear of losing it. There is no fear of losing it if Jesus Christ is your God. He will always be there. The other things that come second, third, fourth, and fifth in your life, He can replace. He can renew. He can refill. He can heal. He can take all those things and bring them together for you if you let Him be your God. Let's go over to John chapter 15, starting at 12. This is Jesus talking to His disciples. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. Is this what you want? To be able to ask Him anything and it be provided for you? Then do as He commanded. Don't let the world
take things away from you. Keep Jesus as the forefront in your life. Make him your friend. How do you make him your friend? First and foremost, you have to study his word so you know who he was, what he did, why he did it, and how he did it. The operation manual is the Bible. The Bible is a history lesson. The Bible is a beautiful set of letters that tell us how we can operate today and tomorrow. I left out yesterday because if you look at yesterday, you can probably see a half a dozen things that you did that were not things that promoted Jesus Christ, that did not promote the agape love that Charlie was talking about. Agape love is simple. Prefer another before yourself. Let me say that again. Prefer another before yourself. That means if your Christian brother or your sister needs something and you recognize it, you do it. You give it. You make it manifest. Sometimes it's just a kind word. Sometimes it can be more. Sometimes it can be a labor of agape love. To build them up. To help them. And not tear them down in the process. Nobody needs help in tearing themselves down. Because when we reflect on our own lives and things that we do, and when we recognize that sin that we commit, immediately we knock ourselves down. So does your brother and sister in Christ, the person that you are supposed to prefer over yourself by showing agape love? Are you building or are you taking away? Do you let Philios get in your way because you don't like his hairstyle? He wears funny clothes. He's got tattoos running up one side and down the other. He's got a ring stuck in his nose. He's young. He's old. What are you looking at? What are you supposed to be looking at? Jesus. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. So how do you want to walk? How do you want to be? How do you want to develop? How do you want to look to the world? When you're out in the world and you're not with a Christian brother and sister, how do you show that agape love? Any wild guesses? Three scriptures you should have memorized. You should know them so well that you can quote them in a second's notice. How do you show that agape love? You prefer another to yourself. You do the commandment of Jesus Christ, and you give them John 3:16, 3:17, 3:18, no matter how they look, no matter how they're dressed, no matter how they speak, no matter what they look like. If you're by yourself out in the world, as you go out in the world, you are to preach the gospel. When you do this, you are showing agape love, even though they may not know what it is. But what did the word say? They will know you by your love, by your agape love. And if you don't know that love, or you don't think you have that love on your life, I invite you to get in your closet, to go to a quiet place, to go to an area where people aren't around, and get down on your knees and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart to show you that agape love, to bring you in contact with people who will show you that agape love. For Jesus Christ gives it freely. And that's what we're supposed to do, to give it freely to everyone we meet. Amen.
You're alive.
Dear Lord Jesus, We stand before you. We love you, and we thank you for the truth. We thank you for walking with us in this world, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.